This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Hello, baby, hello.
Welcome, peoples of Sydney
and beyond.
This is
Breaking Waves, coming to you on Eastside FM. I'm Riley.
And I'm John Mark.
And today we are talking about the word, the concept of harmony. When you go to Google, it tends to come up with the Greek or Roman origins, and apparently there was in fact a Greek goddess by the name of Harmonia. Apparently the ancient Greek goddess of harmony and concord, and then the Roman counterpart, because of course there always is the Roman version, is called Concordia.
This word to them meant joining, the joining of things together. And I guess in terms of harmony of sounds, that would be the joining of sounds together to make another sound that harmonizes. And I think that suggests a pleasant effect rather than the opposite to harmony, which would be disharmony. So a disharmonious a concatenation of sounds is unpleasant. So,
which is how the older generations feel about the younger generation's music, typically. Like,
yes, absolutely. So, what are some of the different meanings that we get in the modern world? Modern definitions.
We've got the musical aspect, you know, like the choir sang in harmony and the melody. But there's also the definition of a situation in which people are peaceful and agree with one another, or when things seem right or suitable together. And they mention like racial harmony, domestic harmony, in harmony with, and of course, yes, agreement of ideas, feelings or actions, or a pleasant combination of different parts.
Right, so that's the body, mind and spirit thing, and we can talk about harmony in terms of those different areas of existence for humans. There's also the internal world and the external world. So in the external world's pretty big. That's inclusive all of nature and the rest of the universe and the other people and our interactions with them.
Lots of opportunities for disharmony, it seems.
Perhaps there's a lot of opportunities in the internal world too. Disharmonious
absolutely.
Actions, thoughts and feelings are not uncommon to me, certainly.
I think I've talked about it on the show before, but there's the psychological term. Have you heard of ego dystonic, John?
No.
It basically means when a person behaves in a way that runs in the opposite direction to the narrative that they have about themselves and who they are. So when the, you know, actions that someone takes goes against who they tell themselves they are, who they tell, you know, people that they are.
Yeah, I think that internal conflicts of thought and feeling are probably everybody's well accustomed to having to deal with that, trying to process what's going on around you and make sense of it and move forward, you know.
You can see it in little kids, you know, sometimes. I've actually seen this happen where, you know, there'd be a group of them getting along and then one kid runs up and hits one of them and then another one hits another kid and it's like suddenly they all activate each other into
Well, I guess that's one of the reasons why, one of the good things about going to school and interacting with other people is you learn the protocols of the culture or society or the community that you're in. And, you know, they need to have sort of rules of behaviour, you know, civility, basically. Civility is really important. And you kind of supposedly learn those things. You start to learn them at home, but then when you go to school, you get to interact with a lot more people.
Yes.
And it's advantageous to get on harmoniously in a community.
And what about within yourself, John? Like, what was your first kind of association or understanding of the concept of harmony? Was it musical, or was it the idea of a personal, interpersonal, like harmony within the home, or was it?
I don't know. Probably the musical thing is the thing that probably first comes to mind when I think about the word. In terms of, I've got an electronics background, so the idea of harmonics is actually a form of resonance that occurs, and everything in the natural world has resonances because everything's in motion, and this is one of. You know, in physics, they'll tell you this about matter at a level of atoms. It's all vibrating. And this is a very old idea that was here long before atomism became a thing. The idea that everything moves. In fact, the Hermetic, the ancient esoteric occult teachings, philosophical teachings of the Hermetic traditions, which go back thousands of years,
is it to Egypt or even further back?
Certainly, I don't really know. I mean, this is not an area where there's actually a lot of stuff. There are a few books, ancient books. One of them is called the Corpus Hermeticum, which talks all about the Hermetic view of
reality
the world,
itself.
Well, of everything, yeah. And then there's another one called the Kybalion, which is written 150 years ago, which attempts to outline the principles, the Hermetic principles, in a more concise kind of way. But it's not something that's mentioned that much. We mainly get, and a great example is our definitions when we look them up. We usually refer to the Greeks and the Romans for our definitions of words, but a lot of concepts and ideas, you know, come from the Egyptians because their culture is just as old as any of the others. I mean, it goes back many thousands of years BC.
Yes, and looking into it, it seems that this idea of harmony was an integral part of the structure of their society and their philosophical ideals, but it went under a different name, and that's MAAT. I guess one would say Matt. So it's this idea of balance and order, but also tied into truth and justice. And apparently Matt is also another goddess personifying these concepts, regulating the seasons, the movements of the stars and the behaviors of the mortals and the deities, bringing order from chaos. And then there's an opposing character called Isfet, which is all the injustice and chaos and violence and evil doing and stuff. So, yes, in the ancient Egyptian time, we're told that harmony is a big deal.
I guess it's always been a focus of government. They want to kind of promote harmony, right?
Yes, and we have this idea like, to sow disharmony is like, you know, the want of a villain.
Yes, agents of disharmony.
Mm.
We need to get these agents.
Because
purveyors of disharmony.
Yeah, because when everyone is
and when everyone's thinking along the same lines, everyone gets along.
yes.
But if you start to have different thoughts, it can cause disharmony.
Chaos agents.
You know, in electronics, I build amplifiers, and harmonics is something you have to deal with because all amplifying devices create a kind of distortion called harmonic distortion, and it's kind of like an echo or a resonance of the original sound that gets repeated afterwards. You kind of hear it together with the sound. The idea of a sine wave that everybody's familiar with on a piece of paper, that's just an abstraction. There are no, very few, if possibly you could say there are no pure sine waves that exist in nature. They're always more complicated than that. They always have a harmonic content to them. So, you know, when you're designing an amplifier, you have to have this in mind, because the interesting thing is some of these harmonics, in a musical sense, make things sound good, and some of them make things sound really not good. They grate on the ears.
So there's unpleasant sounding harmonies.
Unharmonious, discordant. Interestingly, you know, if you listen to music from other countries, say with weird instruments that don't have set notes like ours, they tend to wander all over the place. And I'm thinking of those snake charmer bagpipe-like devices that make all kinds of weird noises. And to us, this sounds very strange, but that's just because our hearing is actually, we've grown a hearing system in the West to deal with the sounds we make. This is actually another reason why it's difficult to learn foreign languages, because we can't actually we can't cope on a processing level with actually what we're hearing. We don't have the ability to do it. So you actually have to not only learn the language, you have to acquire the ability to discern what's being put out by the other person, which takes time. Oh, this is one of the ways that we diverge from one another when we're separated, you know, over the hill. People start to think and talk differently as soon as they get separated, which is an interesting aspect of life.
And there's the idea of, like, singing in tune or not singing in tune. I think a lot of people in my family can't sing in tune. I can't.
But maybe to, like, an Apache, it'd sound beautiful. You know, have you ever heard, you know, in the movies where you hear the Indian, they're not actually singing the way we are, right? You know, it's
a cultural difference.
It's an acquired kind of thing, isn't it? What sounds good and what doesn't.
The human voice itself can be a calming, melodic force. And it can also be used as like an assault on the senses.
So if you look at it from a an engineering perspective, this difference between harmonious and unharmonious sounds has got to do with first, second, third, fourth, fifth order harmonics, which is the form of distortion, harmonic distortion. Now, valve amps are notoriously great for playing music through, and one of the reasons is that valves produce the kind of harmonic distortion which is musically pleasing. And transistors tend to cause the kind of distortion which is very unpleasing, and this is why all these modern devices that we have, which are all digital, you cannot clip any of the amplifying sections of these devices. It sounds very nasty. Whereas back in the old world of the analog world, where I started my career as a technician, you would run those mediums very hard, like tape. You would really slam the signal down, and it had a natural sort of compression to it, which was actually made it sound better. And this is one of the arts of being a great engineer, was knowing how much to push the gear you're working with. This is all gone out the door in the age we live in now, the digital world. You can't ever do that, because digital is not analog. It's completely different. It's a facsimile of the analog world. And we've started to digitize just about everything. So we're getting into a facsimile world almost entirely.
Oh, that's evil.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. There certainly are people that say that the computer is the Trojan horse of our time, but I guess we'll see. We'll soon find out. We all went digital certainly about 10 years ago. I think they shut down the digital TV in Australia in 2012. The government started accepting, acknowledging actually the internet and the digital world only recently. You couldn't send them an email 10 years ago. They didn't acknowledge it as a form of contact. And it's very different now, whereas that's all they want.
And that was a post-COVID thing that normalized, you know, doing your Zoom meetings and stuff for work and all that. When did they shut down the landline phones? I think that was like 2019. I think that was like a year or two.
Very recently.
Yeah, it was like a year or so before COVID.
Very recently. It was when it was ABN. I can actually remember because I resisted the ABN boxes.
NBN. Yeah.
NBN, National Broadband Network.
Yeah.
I resisted that right up until they actually turned it. They actually forced all the telcos to shut down because I was still getting broadband, ISDN internet access through a copper wires, through a modem. And I kept doing it until they actually shut that down. It wasn't that long ago. It was maybe, remember you were there when the guys came and installed it for me?
Yeah.
It was probably 3 or 4 years ago, I think. Yeah, all our communications went digital. Everything's digital now. So we'll see what happens.
Indeed we will.
Okay, well, let's talk about domestic harmony. That's a good subcategory.
That's right.
Getting along with the people that are around you on a day-to-day basis or the people you live with, your family.
I'm quite an agreeable person, but there's other kind of people who really thrive off creating disharmony, and I've talked to people like this who are like very self-aware about doing it, and they see it as a way to progress things in a direction that they want to.
Well, it's definitely a tactic.
And a lot of people aren't aware that they're doing it as well. They're just enacting out, you know, some kind of emotional impulse or something. But yes, the idea of domestic harmony, like, I guess, yeah, some people do thrive in conflict and see it as a means to progress, but
I guess as well it depends on, you know, what it was like in your family or origin, whether it was the kind of situation where being different and having different ideas and didn't cause disharmony, you know, actually it didn't cause conflict. It was actually acceptable to be. I didn't actually come from a family environment like that. My parents were pretty old school. Children were to be seen and not heard. And if I disagreed, it caused a lot of disharmony. So I learned not to disagree. And I think I kind of missed out on a bit of personal development there in my childhood because of this. I had to pick those things up later on in my relationships with people.
Right, right. So how do you think that impacted those relationships?
Being confident in your own opinion, and it's okay to have one, is one of the areas that I probably suffered because I wasn't given a voice, you know, earlier on. I didn't learn to be able to do that. It was actually discouraged. So I kind of learned to internalize my worldviews and not share them with other people. And so I struggle now, you know, to actually control my own internal reactions when I'm doing that with people. I get all kinds of triggers, weird triggers. I think that probably better adjusted people don't have when they're trying to deal with others.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I only wouldn't know what it's like to be me, but I do listen to other people. That's why it's good. It's good to have a frame of reference, right?
For sure.
To have some reference for your own world. This is why it is very important to be around other people and to have harmony and disharmony, really. Mm. They're both part of the fact that everything moves and everything, there's cause and effect everywhere.
Yeah.
And so sometimes this is going to be beneficial or positive, and sometimes it's not.
Well, there's the expression that be grateful for people that annoy you because they teach you about who you are, and there's a lot of truth to that. And I think
because they can really put you in a bad place and being annoyed by other people.
Yes,
and certainly in my experience, certainly I've experienced that a lot. It's just a reaction, really. And, you know, you really can flip it if you can step back from your emotional reactions. And that's something I've had to learn as well. I mean, that's a skill. That's doesn't come naturally always. Certainly didn't to me. You realize you could do it. You know, it's just too busy being consumed by whatever feeling you're having or whatever thoughts that you're obsessed with. But you can actually step back from that.
And when there's... It's interesting because we've defined in this show harmony as about, in the interpersonal sense, as about agreement. And I think within some relationships or dynamics, when there's constant agreement and constant validation, it can become a bit self-congratulatory, overly self-gratifying and not challenging enough to kind of learn about yourself and dig into, because having an argument about something, even if you know, most of the time two people aren't going to change each other's minds if they're very fixed in a certain position, but it can help both those hypothetical people understand deeper why they think the way they do about the topic or whatever it might be.
Well, so I guess it's a part of the process of being exposed to other people. And if you look at it that way, it's actually good to actually identify and see disharmony so you can avoid the cause of it. I think on a very fundamental level, we all react in a negative way to something we perceive as being out of tune or unharmonious. Mm. It's actually a signal to us. It's almost... perhaps in an intuitive sense of disharmony is something that keeps us away from certain people or certain situations without even actually knowing and that being able to rationalize to yourself exactly why, the feeling you get, you know.
This came up recently, actually. I can't remember the context, to be honest, but it was talking about how when there's a group of people in a lift or an elevator, if you're American, and one person turns around and starts facing the opposite way to the door, everyone else in the lift starts to become tense and uncomfortable by that one individual's divergent behavior. And I can't remember what the context was.
I think I've seen a video like that where they actually do it and they get they set up one person and they get all the other people to do these things and the other people just follow along. Actually, one of them was sitting in a waiting room and the people were, I can't remember what they were doing now, but the people that didn't know, the experimental people would just follow along and do it.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't know, they couldn't answer why.
And I've had that happen on trains as well, like, where, like, I'll turn towards the doors that's going to lead to the wrong exit in terms of it's not actually going to open up to the platform. It's not going to open up at all. But if I turn around, there's a good chance that other people will turn around as well just because of that hive mind aspect to our existence.
Yeah, the hive mind that people rub off on each other, the kind of mob thing that we're all susceptible to. If we're in a mob, basically.
Well, but it can happen with... Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it happens on all different levels. Yeah. A part of it's mental, you know, you agree or don't agree. But there's lots of other levels we operate too when we're together. We actually react. It's like a flocking or a schooling thing, you know, fish swimming together or birds flying together. It's a similar thing.
Do you remember that time, John, that you were walking near the light rails near Moore Park? And there was all these people that were just like corralled like cattle. Do you remember this story? It happened, I think, earlier this year or last year or something. But there was some sort of a barricade and I think you were the only person walking in a certain way. And then there was all this stream, this hordes of...
Oh, that's when I was. I came across all the people going to the football game.
That's what it was. Acer Arena or something.
The Showground.
Showground, there you go.
Yeah. And I was trying to traverse the same streets. These people were coming off the train at Central and they were walking up towards Moore Park to get on the light rail. Yeah, no, it's just clearly the mob mentality was in operation there, the way they were crossing streets and the things they were doing. I was looking at them and they had kids, and but they weren't thinking about what they were doing at all. They were just following along what everyone else was doing. And, well, it's a thing. People do it.
Definitely a thing. And even if, and it'll, as we say, it'll happen with strangers. It'll happen. So you do, you go to the beach, right? And then someone is like tentatively, slowly lowering themselves into the water. But then if some like old man or something walks past them and goes straight in, that person's going to feel more motivated to just dive in as well. Because it's like, well,
you'll also see it at crossings as well, when you just say the lights are busted or something like that, and lots of people will be waiting, and then one person will actually, you know, there's no cars. Everybody's just doing what they've been told and waiting for the light, and it's just nothing. Well, eventually one person will just take the initiative to cross the road.
And people follow.
Yeah, yeah, and then everybody else will start doing it.
Yeah, and I've been that one person at times, or I've been the follower as well.
Well, you know, it's handy to follow sometimes. You can be less aware of what's going on, but you're actually putting your faith in those around you.
In a stranger, so, in that context.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I follow people all the time because of my low vision. If I go out into this world where there's cars and people and handbags, you know, and shopping trolleys, it's quite dangerous for me. I don't cope with those things well. Everything's moving too fast and I don't have enough vision to actually get in the, out of the way of stuff and cross roads and navigate, you know, shopping centres. And but what I commonly do is I'll pick someone who's actually travelling at my kind of speed and I'll just get behind them and follow them in order to get across roads. And, yeah, I do it all the time.
Sensible idea.
Well, probably dangerous too, but, hey, well, you got to do what you got to do to get around. Sometimes. And that.
Well, folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show. John and I will return next week, and we hope you have a terrific time.
Yes. Enjoy the
harmoniousness that is available to you.
Indeed. We will see you soon.
Bye for now.
Carry on, love is coming, love is coming to us all.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.